Noel Fonky ist im vergangenen Herbst zum Moderator der Presbyterianischen Kirche gewählt worden. Die Kernthemen von Frau Fonky sind Gerechtigkeit und Frieden, wie auch kontextuelle Mission in der heutigen Welt. Es wird wieder eine Fragerunde geben am Ende des Referats.
Dear brothers and sisters, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share my perspectives on mission with you. I want to say that I'm deeply humbled by your invitation because you had the choice to invite people from any part of the world. But the fact that you chose me and you chose a woman, it's a very humbling experience for me. And it has brought me face to face with a lot of ex-Cameroonian missionaries. And in the spirit of the Cameroonian culture, we always like to recognize people. So can I crave your indulgence to ask all those who worked in Cameroon as missionaries to rise, please? Thank you so much. Thank you so very much. Let me not be selfish. All those who worked in Africa, can we recognize your presence, please? Anywhere. Thank you so much. Thank you so very much. I know that there are so many of you who have worked in other parts of the world. If the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon is what it is today, it is because of the foundations that you people laid. If some of us are who we are today, it is because of the foundation that you laid in the mission work that you did in the continent and in Cameroon in particular. So my presence here today is as a result of your work, and that makes my paper easier for me because I know I'm dealing with people who have a concept about what mission is. And so today I just bring a little perspective into what you already know, and I'll be asking questions that all of us ask, and we hope that by the time we leave from here, we will seek some answers and we'll go home with more questions so that the discussions on mission can continue. Thank you very much. I'd like to begin my presentation, which is titled Reframing Mission in Cameroon Today, with a very interesting encounter that I had recently, about 3 weeks ago, with the wife of an American Baptist missionary who is stationed in the northwest region of Cameroon. And this meeting, I say, actually has acted as a foil for the missionary perspectives that I bring to you today. I had spent 4 days in Akwaya. Those of you who have worked in Cameroon, you know where Akwaya is. It's a very Aboriginal area in Cameroon, and which is still protected from modern technology, either because they are poor or because of selective governance from my country. The chief of the village had invited me for breakfast before my departure to Boya, which is where I live. And I was fortunate to meet two Baptist pastors from the United States who had come as missionaries to that area. And they had come to the chief's palace because they wanted a piece of land on which they could construct the new church. And of course, the land was given to them with no application, and they didn't have to sweat for it. They received something like 2 hectares of land from the chief. The road to the city from Berlin is a continuous roller coaster because you have to go on rocks and winds and turns, and it lasts for about 8 hours. And since I had to get to the city early to prepare to come to Switzerland for this conference and also to finish my schoolwork, the chief asked if they could offer me a ride in their little aircraft. And I was very fortunate because they did. But my encounter, the one I want to share, began after we landed at Sabga. We exchanged a few pleasantries with the wife of one of the pastors, and I asked that they direct me where I could get a taxi to the main town, Bamenda, and she decided to walk with me. And the first thing she did was she asked whether I was a Christian. And I said yes. And she asked me whether I had received Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. And I said yes. And she asked, when was this? I said, when I was baptized. And I was waiting that probably she would ask me what time, what place, date, who. And when she went on quizzing me about other things that included my faith, convictions, salvation, and what I understood by salvation, and if Jesus Christ came today, how would I behave in his presence and all of that, I seized the few minutes of pause that she had in between her questions to introduce myself. I said I was a pastor of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon, and I was teaching at the Presbyterian Theological Seminary. And I thought at this point, the conversation was going to take a different turn. Yes, it did. But this time, she said, you need to step down. You are disobeying the Bible. You are wrong for being the pastor because women are not supposed to preach the gospel. And I turned and I told her, but you are preaching to me. And she said, yes, but only in private. Well, our conversation had no conclusion. And as I was going away to board the taxi to Bamenda town, I kept wondering the right terminology to describe the encounter that had taken place between the two of us. And I really began to wonder whether the word mission was apt in that context. Well, this example is not what mission is, according to me. That moment, I again concurred with the primeval mission specialist, Warren, who states that our first task as missionaries in approaching another people, another culture, another religion, is to take off our shoes, for the place we are approaching is holy. Else we may find ourselves treading on men's dreams. More seriously still, we may forget that God is always there and has always been there before our arrival. Because as Christians, if we say God is omnipresent, and when God created the world, God is everywhere, we have to be humble enough to recognize God's presence everywhere. So my definition of mission in contemporary Cameroon is certainly miles away from my friend's mode of operation. I even wondered whether I could have been converted to Christianity had I not been a Christian by her actions or by that encounter. This unfortunate experience, from my perspective, is not a mirror of what mission is or has been. Missionary legacy is plagued with a lot of good, selfless Christians who paved the way for current Christianity and mission work. What is mission? What was mission and what will mission be? This brings me really back to ages 1910, World Mission Conference, when the people thought that mission was not good enough, and they wrote that it is a startling and solemnizing fact that even as late as the 20th century, the great command of Jesus Christ to carry the gospel to all mankind is still largely unfulfilled. It is ground for great hopefulness that notwithstanding the serious situation occasioned by neglect, the church is confronted today as in no preceding generation with a literary world Christian worldwide opportunity to make Christ known. There may have been times when in certain non-Christian lands, the missionary forces of Christianity stood face to face with as pressing opportunities as those presented in the same fields. But never before has there been such conviction of crisis, of opening of all doors in all parts of the world that characterizes, like the ones that characterizes the present decade. It is likewise true that never on the home field have the conditions been more favorable for waging campaigns for evangelization, adequate in scope, in thoroughness, and in power. Therefore, the first duty of a missionary conference meeting at such an auspicious time is to consider the present world situation from the point of view of making the gospel. And the last part is what I really want us to dwell on, considering the present world situation from the viewpoint of making the gospel. The resolutions of Edinburgh, the Edinburgh Mission Conference, have undergone a lot of reconsiderations based on Christian needs, cultural divergence, and modern perspectives. The core, however, which is the gospel, remains and should remain. What was mission? I want to give you a brief historical perspective from the view of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon. The ancestries of mission have always been in the Great Commission of Matthew, of course, Matthew 28:16-20. Early missionaries to Cameroon had Mission Day, going to the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as the main compass that guided their operations. Mission Day, however, has taken an interesting perspective in Cameroon today. According to early missionaries like Bloomhart, whom a lot of you may have known, who was in Basel Mission, mission for him was a knock on Africa's door. And after him, you had Johannes, Josen Hans, who on the other hand understood mission from an industrial perspective. For him, he said, you couldn't just come and preach the gospel and baptize the people and see them sick and suffering and you do nothing about it. And so there was the introduction of the opening of health centers and schools and some income generating activities. After him, Short came and said they needed to stay on focus. Industrial mission was good, but it should not have an economic focus. Missionaries came to see themselves not only as evangelists, but also as civilizers. In Cameroon, historically, missionaries worked with the government hand in hand. So missionary development and the ideologies of colonial enlargement had common aims and objectives historically. The team was usually a combination of missionaries and explorers, the explorers had a different focus. While the missionaries were bringing the gospel, the explorers' focus was on minerals. And so what we now call the three C's came into existence, which was Christianizing, civilizing, and commercializing. It had been sometimes hard to decipher whether the exchange of gifts that took place between the chiefs and the explorer was not the emollient that greased mission work. The idea of mission to other lands had other ramifications. It was to see how a new uncultivated land could be cultivated in a particular way to bring out a new species that was void of its past. And the past in those days had a clear definition. If you did not know Christ, the missionary at the time understood that you were paganistic. And so they tried to purge you from the paganistic past. So we had names changed with good intentions. And this change was intended to see the new person in Christ. According to Babila George Fochang, who is now the synod clerk of my church, the vessel carrying the message could not be separated from the contents, a confusion that gave birth to paternalism, unfortunately. For the sake of this conference on mission, I want to focus on the Basel missionaries, because historically, the first missionaries to Cameroon actually came from the London Baptist Missionary Society in 1845 under the leadership of Alfred Seker. The Great Commission was very apt in the early missionaries and for early mission in Cameroon, because they brought the good news to the people who had no concept of Christianity. We had a concept of gods, but not of Christ. So like Mbiti said, God sent missionaries to Africa, even though popular view holds that missionaries brought God to Africa. Rev. Val Ogden states that the evangelical missionary heart is traditionally a heart that is full and longs to bless others from its richness and from its bounty. Blessing others with words, with theology, with the message of eternal life. Missionary mouths, she says, are full of words, and missionary hands are full hands. And they say things like, take our money for your hospital, for your school. The missionary, traditionally, according to her, is the primary mover and giver. The problems faced by missionaries at the time included, but were not limited to, the terrain, the infrastructures, language, culture, diseases, and challenging living situations. Christian mission, I say, is spiced by constraints, just like the sender himself, Jesus Christ. Mission work was not easy. Some of the missionaries could not survive malaria, which was very rampant in the area. Some died a few days after arrival, but the rest move on. I want to quote the example of Sister Mary Ringley, who died on her way to teach women on the Bamendankwe Hill, which is now called the Station Hill, on the 7th of March, 1968, 11 years after our church had gained independence. These challenges did not quench mission and the zeal that characterized mission work at the time. The model of suffering plays an important role in Christianity, harnessing moral conduct and spiritual innovation. And the ultimate goal is what Christ wants for his church. Indeed, an emphasis on suffering permeates the Gospel of Mark. When you look at the Gospel of Mark, it reiterates the suffering Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Although theologians have suggested that Mark was written to strengthen the persecuted of the early Christian community, the underlying moral is not lost on the modern missionary tackling of varied challenges in the world. These challenges that missionaries face could be likened to the hurdles on the Christian racetrack that strengthened the missionaries and kept them on focus. The establishment of mission stations in Cameroon at the time was a way, an attempt to enable the missionaries experience home away from home. If you come to Cameroon today, you still have old mission stations which were established at the time for the missionaries. And this portrayed a kind of vertical relationship where the missionaries stayed away from the locals in a little bit more comfortable way. The question, however, is to be asked whether mission today can work in vertical relationships. On the other hand, the Cameroonian prospective Christians were eager to grasp the concept and the focal of this new kind of worship that had just come. It was a shift from indigenous worship. The indigenous Cameroonian worship was plagued with symbols and visible and touchable things. They had to shift from this to Christianity. The concept was, however, misunderstood by some of the missionaries who thought that they were introducing a new perspective in Cameroon. Worship had always been there, but it was not worship towards Christ. The team of Cameroonians that were recruited as aides to the missionaries were relentless in their service and put their all to make sure that the new religion gained grounds. So you had people like Modi Dean, who took over and preached the gospel to the people in the indigenous language, and the people identified with him because he was one of their own, telling them the new religion that had just come. Let me not bore you too much with a lot of history. What is mission today in the contemporary PCC? A lot of people have asked the question whether mission is still necessary today, and that's the focus of this conference, I'm sure. Especially now that communication has rendered all facets of religion and all the eccentrics translucent. This concept calls for further concern and for Christian missionaries and missionary-oriented institutions to sit and rethink new strategies for mission. Since this easy obtainability of theological knowledge sometimes derails Missio Dei, which should be the core of mission. Now the concept of Missio Dei, which is from Christian center to the unreached territories, to the ends of the world, as posited by the Commission on the World Mission and Evangelism Conference in 2008 by the World Council of Churches, calls for contemporary apt perspectives. The unreached territories now have experts that profess Missio Dei as their mode operandi and deploy their utmost according to their perceptions of it. Does this therefore mean that mission is now obsolete? Far from it. In Cameroon today, the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon is found in all 10 regions of the country. Of course, the missionaries did not do that. Missionary perspectives have progressed both in practice and appellation. The early missionaries soon became fraternal workers. That's the term we used. And currently, they are referred to as ecumenical co-workers. Does this change in name depict the change in the way they are expected to operate? Nonetheless, mission is done through exchanges rather than teacher-learner or leader-follower point of view. Masok upholds that the margins in Cameroon today, even in the popular reading context, have a lot to offer because their spirituality maintains its original purity, free from academic lucidity. Fochang also posits that the growth of Christianity cannot be measured on a straight line. Rather, Christianity expands and makes gains at the peripheries, and it diminishes at the center. He quotes Andrew Walls, who has emphasized that Africa has become the center of Christian activity because of the dramatic growth of Christianity in the continent. And he even projects that by 2040, Africa would be the continent with the highest Christian population. Africa as a whole has produced a new kind of Christianity that has embarrassed even some missionaries. The strong belief in demons and memets and deliverance ministries and charismatic fanatisms are almost uniquely African. And these tenets are familiar to their culture. Again, remember, the kind of worship that they want is symbolic, touchable, tangible kind of worship. These are a few perspectives that the margin now offer. That is why renowned African televangelisms are pulling crowds of followers in Africa. An inclusive mission strategy has first constituted the core of our value in the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon. Dennis Kang states that the South-South cooperation in mission persistently makes mission meaningful. From missionary to fraternal workers and now ecumenical co-workers indicate that mission by us to us is also very primordial in our time. So we must be very functional if we must succeed in mission. It is quite unusual nowadays to find South-South relationships where urban congregations are liaising with rural congregations in Cameroon for evangelistic purposes. Another development now is the partnership relationships in Cameroon, where congregations are partnering with congregations abroad in order to exchange perspectives and evangelism. This can even be exemplified. I want to quote one congregation in Cameroon, the Presbyterian Church in Bona Musadi. They have a youth exchange program with the Evangelical Church of Germany in Münster. And what brought about this exchange was because the church was concerned about the fact that their congregation was losing the youth. And when they came to Bona Musadi, they realized that it was a very vibrant congregation with a lot of young people. So they decided to start this exchange so these young people in Bona Musadi could come over to Münster and vice versa. And they tried to sit and see what is it in church that is attracting them. And on the other hand, what is it in Münster that is sending away young people from the church? And these exchanges have been quite fruitful, according to the evaluation. What will mission be? Future prospects. Where are we going? It is time to sit and rethink the direction that mission needs to take. Mission is a vital fabric of Christianity, and any Christian organization without mission is void of its own very core. I think we cannot be Christians and not talk about mission. The early missionaries to Cameroon brought a holistic approach to the care of people. Mission was an inclusion of all facets of life, and the missionaries combined other things like health in teaching, education. So we say the appellation of missionaries, again, that progressed from fraternal workers, has been recently replaced by ecumenical co-workers. And when we talk about ecumenism, we're not talking about from one particular church to a particular church. We're talking about looking at mission as Christians as a whole. Does this shift present pointers about new dimensions in mission? The Commission on the World Mission and Evangelism poses a vital question. If there is a shift of the mission concept from mission to the margins to mission from the margins, what then is the distinctive contribution of the people from the margins? There is a challenge, however, and it's not just about reframing the concept of mission, but it's also about defining who the margins are. Revisiting the encounter I had with my American Baptist friend, one is tempted to think that mission now has a focus sometimes on what we call in Cameroon fishing from other people's boats. We believe that lazy people, when fishermen go out fishing, and normally our fishing does not happen the same way it happens here, I'm sure, because our fishermen are usually also very good swimmers. So sometimes they leave their boats with the fish in it and they dive into the water with the net. And the lazy ones who don't want to dive into the net just remove some of the fish from other people's boats and put in theirs. So should mission be about fishing from other people's boats, where if I tell you I'm a Christian, you don't believe me because you think I'm not Christian enough? I pray this should not be the case. There are so many issues plaguing our society now that need missionary efforts, both from the north and from the south, from the center to the margin and vice versa. And we need to form a collective think tank for reconciling the world to God and for human salvation. Ogden again states that to look at God through the lens of mission is to see God whose very nature and heart is missionary. We see essentially in God a divine self sending into action, into creation, at the very start of things through Jesus Christ into humanity, and through the Holy Spirit into all ages, places, and time. It is the very person-centered Trinitarian sending. And this missionary purpose in sending is to save, to reconcile the world to the divine self, so that all is ultimately and harmoniously fulfilled. When God sends with these saving purposes, God suffers to achieve them. That's what she says. Mission still has a lot of hope. Mission is not dead. In the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon, there are still a lot of untrampled territories. And I want us not to look at untrampled territories geographically, because when we look at them geographically, we lose the meaning of mission. In the spirit of the World Council of Churches, the concept of justice and peace, for me, is something that needs to be looked at through mission. And these were the main themes of the Synod meeting of the Presbyterian Church in Cameroon in 2013 and the Female Pastors Conference. This is just one facet in a well of many. The yearning for North-South exchanges and vice versa is tremendous, especially given the fact that the world is becoming one large family, even though with political boundaries. What dimensions should this new missionary perspective take? This interest is indicative of a diversity of perspectives that can be converged and harnessed towards the ultimate focus, the ultimate mission day. Is it not time for us to get on deck to seek for new perspectives on how we can go about with mission? According to Ogden again, it means that missiological thinking at its best should have a way of taking us back to the very womb, to the very heart of things. Viewing others through a genuine missionary perspective gives us the zeal to be one another's keeper. If I'm not happy, then you have the task to make me happy. And for her, that is mission. God's very nature is missionary, sending, suffering, and saving. So the big question now in contemporary mission as posited by Ogden is, who sends to whom? Why? Where is sacrificial suffering? Where is the evidence of salvation? Is it not time to galvanize resources so that Christian mission can take a dimension that has a transforming effect on the world at large? How can we as Christians modify worldly secular behavior that is causing the existence of humans on earth an unpredicted nightmare? Now we have the ISIS, we have Boko Haram in my neighboring country, Nigeria. If mission now has to come from the margins and vice versa, what does the margin bring? The margin have always provided receptivity or the platform for evangelism, as stipulated by Masoch. They read the Bible in a non-academic way. Unfortunately, we the theological elites are so sometimes too intelligent to understand them. And sometimes we call them illiterates of faith. This is not true, because these simple people from the margins preach love in deep, touching action. That is mission in action. New perspectives of mission, especially in institutionalized churches, should seriously consider these new dimensions of Christianity. The margins are already making tremendous gains at the center. If the gains are meaningful, how can the margins be incorporated into current perspectives for mission? The core of many conflicts in the world now is rooted in religious beliefs and doctrines. How can mission help to bring about peace? Funke proposes the adoption of religious space to solve interfaith issues. He says that this is the kind of interreligious space that the ultimate had established at the beginning of creation when he was busy creating every part of his created order. It is this authentic space that creates space for all classes of people and respects the earth as God's created space and all other created beings. Interreligious space will enable all to live in peace, unity, and love, the manner in which God is worshipped and expressed in a creative way within the community. You know, when I came to Bern, I heard about the House of Religions. I've not been there, but I think the concept is a fascinating concept. And yesterday when we were talking about it, I said, when you create a house like that, who can tell? Maybe 10 years from now, you have the Jews coming, the Muslims coming, the Christians coming, everybody coming and worshiping in one space. And one day, who knows, they could get up and say, let's tear down these walls. I'm also aware of the fact that there are some Christians who think that mission means converting everybody else from their beliefs into Christianity. I'm, however, of the opinion that as Christians, we should live our lives in a way that enables others to see our actions and want to be like us. And for me, that is mission. Reframing our missionary perspectives, therefore, will entail a careful study of new spheres that are in the way of our relationship with God. It will also mean a careful evaluation of what has been done so far in missions, our strengths and our constraints. Above all, reframing mission will entail looking at both the margins and the center through the lenses of love as upheld by Christ. I do hope our discussions during this conference and our ensuring implementation of our prospects will lead us through towards the direction that Christ would want us to go. Thank you so much for your attention.